Thank you, and you may be seated. I could take a long, long time to introduce my great friend, Dr. Tom Elliott. Tom and I have experienced so much of life together and so much of ministry together over the past 20 years or so, and he's really about the best friend I've got. And I'm just very blessed by him. And so it's my great, great honor to introduce you to him. Many of you know him as our consecration speaker this year.
Thank you, Dave. Reading this morning from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 15. This is the very familiar story of Jesus and his disciples as Jesus prepares breakfast for them on the beach after the resurrection and invites them to come. Hear now the reading of God's Word. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to just say a word of thanks to Dave for the invitation to be here today. Ditto your remarks on the friendship. I was just saying something to Teresa about how special you've been to me and all of our many adventures, which we don't have time to tell today. But it is a joy to be here, and Dave, thanks for inviting me, and also to be here at Conyers at First Methodist Church. As many of you I know through the years, and this church has been a part of my family for a number of generations, and toward more recently. But it really is like coming home to come here today and to share with you. And so thank you for the invite. I want to teach you a song, a chorus to a song that we're going to sing together and then we'll come back to. And this is one, you'll know the words right away. So I'm going to invite you just to follow along. I'll sing a line, and then if you sing right behind me, that would be great. So it goes like this. For God so loved the world. Sing that. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes, that whosoever believes, has life, has life. For God sent His Son, for God sent His Son, not to condemn, not to condemn, but that the world might be saved. But that the world might be saved through Him, through Him. Now let's put it all together. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes has life. God sent His Son, not to condemn, but that the world might be saved through Him. Now hold on to that chorus for just a few minutes as we talk a little bit about the meaning. As you read the Gospels, one of the things that you discover is that there's an interesting portrait of Peter that emerges, and especially in John's Gospel, where we have so much dialogue between Jesus and Peter. Peter was the disciple who was introduced to Jesus by his brother Andrew. He was the disciple who, in the upper room, when Jesus wanted to wash his feet, challenged Jesus. He was the disciple called Cephas, the one known as rock or stone. He was the disciple in the garden when they came to arrest Jesus who drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest guard. And he was the disciple who denied knowing Jesus not just once, but three times. It's interesting that if the story had ended at that point in the Gospels, that Peter would only be remembered as the disciple who had denied knowing Jesus three times. But we know that the story doesn't end there. There's an interesting thing that happens in this particular passage, and it has to do with the Greek language and the way that we understand Greek. And that is that when you read the Greek New Testament, what you discover is there really more than one word for the word love. There's storge, which means family love. There's eros, which is romantic love. There is phileia, which is the brotherly, sisterly friendship type love, companion love. And then there is agape. And agape is the love that we talk about when we talk about God's love. Now, if you read this particular passage in the Greek, one of the things that you'll find is that the word love changes a little bit. Let me read it to you, and you follow along with me. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" The word's agape. "Do you love me as God loves?" He answered him, Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, phileia, as a brother leaves a brother, as a sister loves a sister, as a friend loves a friend." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me, agape?" Once again, he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, phileia, as a brother loves a brother, as a sister loves a sister, as a friend loves a friend." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me, phileia? Do you love me as a brother loves a brother, as a sister loves a sister, as a friend loves a friend?" And Peter is now hurt with Jesus because he's asked him three times. And he says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you, phileia, as a brother leaves a brother, as a sister loves a sister, as a friend loves a friend." Now, when Bible scholars read this and they begin to try to figure out the meaning, sometimes they think it's as simple as, well, he denied knowing him three times and he wants to hear him say, "I love you," three times. One, two, three. And that might be a simple way of reading this. But I also believe there's something deeper here, and it has to do with the meaning of the word love. That word agape in the Greek. You know, in our culture today, Hollywood teaches us that love is all about feelings and emotions and the highs that we soar when we're in love. And certainly, there are feelings and emotions attached to love. But when we talk about the love of the New Testament, when we talk about God's love, we see something totally different here. In this particular passage, the word that Jesus is using for love in the first part is the word that we find in that great statement in front of Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world." It's the love that we find in the great commandment to love God and love your neighbor. It's the love that we find when Jesus gathers his disciples and he says, "A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another." It's the love that we find in Paul where he says, "Faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love." 1 Corinthians 13. The love here is the love agape, and it's the word that we use in order to describe the love of God. And so what we see here is Jesus reaching to Peter with this love and finally embracing him in the only way that he knows. But Jesus doesn't just leave Peter there. You see, this love that we talk about, this agape love, is more an act of the will than it is a feeling or an emotion. And that's why Jesus commands us to love. It took me a long time to figure that one out. It's more an act of the will. Love is something that we do. When Jesus stood with Nicodemus, he said to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but may have eternal life." And then when Jesus gathered together his disciples in the upper room, he said to them, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you want to love one another." And he gives us an idea of love and the way the love is supposed to be. And then here in this verse, three times with Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Love is something that we do. So then how do we love Jesus? I mean, how are we supposed to love Jesus? Well, if we take Peter as our example, first we might say it's important to spend time with Jesus. Notice that the scene is breakfast on the beach. I'm talking about prayer time. I'm talking about devotional life. Spending intentional time with Jesus. Second, we see Peter telling Jesus, "Lord, you know that I love you." I think sometimes that Jesus wants to hear that we love him. When's the last time you told Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you"? And then third, and perhaps most important of all for this particular scene, are those words, "Feed my sheep." In other words, we love Jesus by loving the things that Jesus loves. I mean, what is it that Jesus loves? We know children. We know all people. We know family. We know church. We know the world. Loving the things that Jesus loves. Reminded of a fellow who was on an airplane going from Denver to Wichita, and he said in the flight, he noticed before they took off, they had strapped a fellow who appeared to be a paraplegic into a seat in front of him. And even despite the straps and the seat, the man was very uncomfortable, and he could tell. And during the flight, they brought the man a meal, and the meal just sat there. And he said, "Finally, I unbuckled and I slipped out of my seat and I went to the seat next to him and I said, 'Is there no one here to help you eat?' And he said, 'No, there's not.' And he said, 'Could I help you?' And he said, 'Certainly.' And so he fed the man. And he said, as he began to feed this man, the man began to talk to him and he told him about the unfortunate accident. He talked to him about his fear and his hopes and his dreams and his hurts and his despair. And the fellow said he just listened to this man, and finally after he had fed him and it was time to go back to his own, he said, 'I sat there and I thought about how many people in this world have the gospel right in front of them, but there's no one there to share it with them.' And then he heard the words of Jesus, 'Feed my sheep.'" Today is a celebration Sunday here at Conyers First United Methodist Church. It's a day when we consider and celebrate together our financial commitments to the ministry and mission of God in and through this church. We make our gifts to God for the sake of all that this church means in this community and beyond. Coming here today, as I said earlier, is really almost like a homecoming to me. This was my grandparents' church. Bob and Nell Elliott and Meemaw, as we called her, used to live right down here on Main Street. And my father grew up on Main Street. He used to tell stories about running track meets on Main Street way back. And also my aunt and uncle, Bobby and Nancy Elliott, who were longtime faithful members of this congregation. And, you know, I remember thinking as growing up, I want to grow up and I want to move to Conyers. I used to really think that. And I actually did live here for 2 years in my first appointment when I was in Covington. And then there was Nan and Suzanne, my cousins, Nan Saliday and Suzanne Howard now, who grew up here. And I can remember as a young boy that we would come to Conyers almost every other weekend to see Meemaw. And somewhere in all of that, we'd end up here at church. And then there were those times as a young person, a youth, I would spend time in the youth group. And we had just a blast doing that. When I would go with Nan and Suzanne, and we would hang out and do youth stuff here at Conyers. And so as I think about this church, there's a lot of spiritual roots for me in this congregation. And there are people in this church that, as a young boy, I have watched through the years who have really modeled what it means to live as a Christian. And you've done that through your witness, you've done that through your faithfulness, you've done that through your giving, you've done the way that you have loved me in the faith. And because of that, I know that I am where I am today, that you're a part of the journey that I have made in faith. You know, when I think about stewardship, I'm always reminded of the pastor who was taking his congregation through a stewardship time, and he was walking down the beach and he found a bottle and he opened the bottle and out came a genie. All right, just go with me. I see some of you. Yeah, it's like, okay. And so the genie said, "Look, I can only give you one wish." And the pastor said, "Well, that's fine." He said, "You know, I've always wanted to go to the Holy Land. And honestly, I'm just afraid to fly in an airplane. And I want you to build me a road that I can go to the Holy Land on that road. I can drive there." And the genie looked at him. He said, "Man, I can't build a road that way. It'd have to be a bridge. And I can't do that for you. I'm going to have to give you a substitute wish. What would that be?" The pastor thought for a moment, stewardship season. He said, "I wish that every member of my church would tithe 10%. To the Lord." And the genie sat there for a minute and he scratched his head and he looked at the man. He said, "Did you want that road to be 2 lanes or 4 lanes? Now, seriously, when it comes to stewardship, it was one of those seasons when I was pastoring that was always exciting to me, because for me personally and for the church, it was a time to really evaluate where I was in my financial commitment to the church. And somehow that was exciting for me, because I've always, from early on, Kelly and I, from early on, felt like we were joining God in this mission and joining the churches that we served in mission, in the life of the congregation and the community beyond. And that part of the way that we did that was we did that through our giving. You know, through the years, people have asked me, "Well, so what should I give? How much should I give?" And my answer is the same for everybody else it is for me, and that is, go spend some time with Jesus. Go talk to God about that. Ask the Lord what your blessings are and what it is God wants you to do and how God wants you to be a part of the ministry and the mission of the church. And friends, I realize that I am talking to stewards as I stand here in this pulpit. But even as stewards, we have an opportunity to help others who are at different places in the journey. Sometimes, you know, giving is about rearranging priorities. Sometimes giving is about, you know, letting go of our fears and trusting more. And sometimes it's about some kind of spiritual struggle that we have. Maybe it's greed or insecurity or want or something we have going on. And the good news is that Jesus will help us with all of that. Jesus will help us with all of that. You know, it's not just give us money. Give us, that's not the message. God is not just give me money. That's not what God's about. What God wants for all of us is to be free to live and to give in the way that God set it all up. Now, you look at the world in which we live and you see how far off that mark we really are. But in the church, we have an opportunity to live differently and to share differently. And by virtue of that, join God in changing the world. You know, as you think about this scene between Peter and Jesus, I think Jesus' message to Peter is really, really quite simple. And that is, if you love me, then show me. I'm reminded of this little boy in my last church who was 6 years old. And really, without anyone knowing, he started saving his ice cream money on Fridays in order to give to the church on Sunday. It wasn't his parents. It wasn't anybody telling him to do that. It was this little boy doing that on his own. His name was Taylor. And at the end of the year, I remember our financial secretary shared with me that a young boy in our congregation had given $45 to the church, and she was sending him a giving statement for the year. Now, you know, $45 in a $2.1 million budget at that time was not a whole lot. But if you multiply the generosity of that child, who's now probably about 12 years old, think about what that might mean for the kingdom of God. And that little boy did that because he loved Jesus. And I know you do too. As we think about the words of Jesus and Peter, again, it's really simple. Peter, if you love me, if you really love me, then show me. It's a different kind of love from a different kind of place, spoken in a word full of truth and grace, appearing in the flesh, bids us come and see. Behold the Lamb of God for all eternity. For God so loved the world, sing it, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes has life. For God sent His Son not to condemn, but that the world might be saved through Him, Jesus. It's a different kind of love from a different kind of place. It's hard to comprehend God's amazing grace. The Savior of the world, calling, follow me, forgiving all our ways, the love that sets us free. Sing it with me. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes has life. For God sent His Son not to condemn, but that the world might be saved through Him, Jesus. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes has life. For God sent His Son not to condemn, but that the world might be saved through Him, Jesus. It's a different kind of love from a different kind of place.
I think it's very appropriate that we are coming to the altar this morning to receive Holy Communion, even as we are bringing our estimate of giving cards. There's something sacred in that. Maybe we should do it in all services next year. We've been given this great gift. This great gift of Christ's life when He came to earth, when He taught and He demonstrated His love, and when He healed, when He performed miracles, and when He taught. And He taught many times around a table. I was thinking about the text this morning is essentially around the breakfast table. But the greatest demonstration is perhaps in that Passover meal on the night that He was betrayed, when He was there with His disciples. And He took the bread and blessed it and said, "This is my body broken for you." And then when He took the cup, blessed it and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so as we are drawn into this mystery, as we're drawn into to this miracle, we are also remember the words he spoke to Peter to feed Jesus. To feed His lambs, to feed His sheep. And I wonder, as we have food here, spiritual food, bread and juice, out in our community today, how many are those out there that are spiritually starving, that need someone like the man on the plain to feed them? And so, as we come this morning to receive and also to commit and to give, help us to be mindful that we are called to go and tell as we serve. And so as we come now, Tom and I will serve you here at the altar. You can kneel across here. If you need to be served in your pew, we'll be happy to do that. There's gluten-free elements here. I always tell you this, I know you know, but it's an open table. It's an open table, and that's important for us to remember. God so loved the world. We look at this as a is a time for evangelism, to taste and see that the Lord is good and to be reminded of His grace to us. And so let's now come and receive this holy meal, even as we bring our estimate of giving cards this morning.